This is the Roster Report podcast from Patriots.com. Don't know who got cut? We do. Not sure who was signed to the practice squad? Yep, we know that too. The Roster Report is your weekly guide to keep up with the Patriots roster from top to bottom. And now, here to keep you informed, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
And on this first day of June, Paul Perillo joins me, Eric Scalabino, for the Roster Report podcast. No Andy Hart today. He's enjoying the summer of Andy.
Glad to be here, Eric.
And you know what we can say today officially, Paul? Training camp starts next month.
Yeah.
That's crazy, isn't it? We just got back from the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the combine.
It's a short off season when you make a long postseason run. So it's obviously a very good thing on one hand, but you pay for it on the other.
We do. And it already feels like training camp in a way, Paul, because we've been enjoying OTAs the past couple of weeks and just got off the field yesterday. For the latest one, next week we're going to have another one. But in the interim,
then minicamp coming up shortly after that.
But we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. Let's focus on what happened in the last 7 days since we last did a podcast, or since you and Andy did one. transactions. Let's go over them very quickly, shall we?
Yeah, there was a reasonably interesting one.
A reasonably interesting one, and that was the release of veteran free agent wide receiver Anthony Gonzalez.
Or as you called him?
Gonzalez.
Gone.
And that happened...
as predicted, by the way, by Team PFW when they signed him.
That it would happen this quickly?
A fairly good chance that he would not make it to camp was a Andy and Paulism at the time.
And
to which Fred scoffed at us.
He scoffed. Yeah, he did.
But I wonder if it, I know you have some other transactions to get to, but I wonder if there's maybe a little bit more to it and maybe from the mental side with Anthony himself. And we had a chance to talk to him on PFW in Progress. Mm-hmm. Certainly a very bright,
memorable
guy.
Memorable interview, yeah.
Very cerebral. And now there's some reports that he is planning on starting business school at Stanford in the fall. So I wonder if maybe just physically – he just doesn't feel it's there. And rather than continue to put his body through this, maybe he felt it was time to sort of move on to other things. Now, the question I would ask is, now, the first OTA that we had last week, mm-hmm. not this one that just took place yesterday, but last week, I'm wondering, he wasn't out there.
He was
there.
Not there, right?
I'm wondering if he was already released at that point and we just hadn't known about it yet, or if maybe he was dealing with some sort of injury that kept him off the field for that OTA,
right.
And because of that, maybe the Patriots said, you know what,
that's
let's cut ties now.
Yeah.
So probably some layers there, but I think it was certainly a worthwhile signing. You might have had something there, but I think that the odds were against it from the start, and ultimately that's the way it played out.
Right. And, of course, some people like me thought that he might have been insurance just in case Wes Welker held out.
It's very possible.
And Wes Welker didn't hold out. He signed his tender. He was in camp, for the OTAs. So yet another reason, perhaps, that the Gonzalez was expendable. Now, don't feel bad if you're a fan of former Colt free agent signings, because the Patriots still have a former Colt on their roster. That would be offensive lineman Jamie Richard, also 27, like Gonzalez. Played 4 seasons with the Colts as a 7th-round pick for them back in 2008, 6'5", 295. On and off starter for them, as needed over the last few years, but predominantly a special teamer and a fill-in backup offensive lineman. But nevertheless, he is on the squad now, as is 23-year-old rookie free agent from Kentucky, tight end Nick Melillo, 6'2", 226, a lot more towards the Aaron Hernandez type size
for
a tight end. Yeah. Not what you normally think of in prototypical tight end size there.
Yeah.
And last but not least, 7th-round choice Alphonso Denard, a player who's gotten quite a bit of attention for things he's done on and off the field of late. 22-year-old signed his 4-year deal. He's officially a member of the Patriots now.
That is correct. And, I think the other two moves, I think the Richard move is fairly obvious. There's still some offensive linemen missing. And we'll get into this as we start talking about what we saw yesterday at OTAs. But Logan Mankins, Brian Waters, Sebastian Vollmer,
mm-hmm.
those guys are still not out there.
At all.
We still don't know about Waters specifically. With Vollmer and Mankins, at least we know of some injuries. I mean, Mankins specifically with the ACL.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that they probably need some more bodies in there for some depth. I know a lot of people, I am not among them, but a lot of people are very concerned about the offensive line moving forward in the regular season. I am not.
I'm not either.
You're not. Andy's not. I think that we feel like even if Brian Waters were to decide to retire, which it doesn't look like, everybody's writing, Jeff Howe in the Boston Herald had an item about it. Greg Bedard in the Boston Globe has had an item about it. They're all saying, according to people who know, Waters has every intention of coming back to play. But even if he didn't, I still feel like with Copen, Conley, and Mankins, you're very solid in the inside. And then you have Solder and Vollmer at tackle. Now, if something is wrong with Vollmer, you have a guy like Robert Gallery, who has played right tackle in the past. You have Marcus Cannon, who has played right tackle in the past.
Right.
I think that you have some versatility with some of those guys. I think very easily, if Waters does come back and you decide to have, you have a good competition with Conley and Copen for center. Conley has obviously been able to start at all three of those interior positions. You have a guy like Ryan Wendell, mm-hmm. who has played in the past periodically.
Started at times?
Yeah. So, and I even think a guy like Matt Copa as maybe a fourth or fifth tackle possibility could be a guy who was on the practice squad all last year. I don't think that the situation is as dire in the offensive line as some others are writing.
I don't either. As long, and I'll add this caveat, as long as Dante Scarnecchia is coaching them, mm-hmm. I don't have those concerns.
Well, that's a big part of the reason why I feel the way I do as well. I think that he's done plenty with less than what he has right now. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even mention a guy like Nick McDonald, who stepped in and started games last year with no really serious repercussions. The other one, the tight end situation, Melillo, this situation is starting to concern me a little bit. And it's not really related to Gronkowski, because I think, I saw him running yesterday, and he looked to me like a guy
I don't have any
worries about his availability come the start of the season.
Yeah.
Again, kind of weaving this into what we saw at OTAs yesterday.
Right.
He was not part of the practice on the field yesterday, but he was working out in the bubble at first. Then he came out, did some sprints with the some of the training staff and
medical with his
personnel,
helmet on,
and
like
he was running pretty well. Mm-hmm. I thought. I mean, I wouldn't say he was running perfectly, but he was running pretty well.
Yep.
It was May 31st.
Right.
There's a long way to go before the start of the season. I don't really have much of a major concern about his availability moving forward. Aaron Hernandez has been out there. He looked excellent yesterday.
Sharp. Yep.
So he's out there. Daniel Fells is not, and that's where my concern lies.
Right.
I think he's a guy that most of us felt was a pretty solid acquisition as an extra tight end, and
signed a relatively long deal.
The reason why I'm concerned about the situation now is not because they sign a guy like Nick Melillo, because that tells me that they need another guy to come in here and perform the duties that they're doing
during
these passing camps. They've had another undrafted free agent out of Iowa, Brad Herman, who's been out there on the field, and they've even been using Alex Silvestro, a defensive lineman from last season, as a tight end. He looks like a full-fledged tight end now. Yesterday he spent his time next to George Godsey, the new tight ends coach, and did everything with the tight ends. So they're clearly looking for more bodies at the position, with both Fells and Gronkowski limited right now. They're not out there. The reason why I'm worried, though, is because if it were just that, you're looking for bodies to fulfill spring camps.
Right.
Then I don't think you'd be looking at Dallas Clark a couple of weeks ago, and now most recently Bo Scaife.
Yeah.
And both of those guys are veterans. Clark ended up signing
productive
with Tampa Bay.
Veterans, right.
So he's no longer part of the equation. But they just, according to ESPNBoston.com, had Bo Scaife in for a workout this week.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, those are guys that are a little bit different level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Than the undrafted free agents to fill camp
spots. Those are guys who...
So I'm wondering if the Fells situation is something to be concerned about.
Right.
That's where my concern is.
No, I think it's legitimate.
I wrote yesterday, because I wrote an update on Patriots.com about a positional update about tight ends. On Wednesday, I said, look, he could be out there tomorrow for all we know. We don't know what his situation is. He wasn't out there yesterday. So to me, when you're looking at established guys, I'm wondering why you need four established guys. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if maybe something happened to Daniel Fells during this offseason program that we do not know about, and how that will impact things going forward.
Legitimate concern, Paul. I agree with you. You mentioned, too, Gronkowski running out there, and I threw in there that he was wearing his helmet, which is, I think, important to note, because Matthew Slater and Tracy White also were in that group with him doing the running and had their helmets on as well. One guy who started out practice with his helmet, didn't end with it, was Joseph Addai. Running back. He ended up, when the groups broke up into positional drills, offense was closer to us initially, defense was on the far field, and we were kind of looking for a die and couldn't find him, and then spotted him way in the back on his own.
He was in the bubble.
He was in the bubble initially, yeah. Then came back out and was running on his own without his helmet.
Right.
He's a guy that there are two camps, it seems to be, with him. There are the people who say, oh, great addition, veteran, you know, can be an every down back, and there are the other people who can say, eh, take him or leave him. Are you in either one of those camps? At this point, have
you seen? If I was in one or the other, it'd be in the great addition camp. I don't see where the negative is with that at all. To me, it's always been a situation of health. Is he a star? No, he's not a star. I don't want him being the every down back every game. I think he can fill the role of an every down back occasionally. I don't want him getting 250, 300 carries. I really don't want anybody doing that for this offense because I want Tom Brady to throw mm-hmm. the ball. But I feel like he's a guy who's been productive in a pass-oriented offense in Indianapolis. That's what you're asking him to do here. I don't really see the downfall unless he can't play. Now, if he can't play, the contract is structured as such that they won't have to pay him. I mean, he's got some roster bonuses that'll be due, and he needs to prove he's healthy. So it's a kind of a unique situation. I don't want to get into all the boring details of that, but Mike Reese did a nice job of breaking that down on ESPNBoston.com. Recently, so if you're interested in that, I think you could probably do a search on Mike's blog and find that. But I feel like, what do you have to lose? What do you have? I think you need another proven guy in the mix to help out the young guys like Vereen and Ridley. I like the addition of Joseph Addai.
Okay. One other name before we move quickly on that I think was interesting, Brandon Spikes. We did not see him again taking part in anything.
Yeah, I didn't see him at all yesterday. And now on the first one, we did see him out there, just not participating. He didn't have his helmet on.
The first OTA last week.
Yes. Now yesterday, I didn't see him at all. I know some of those people that we were in a big group of media people. And some people said they saw him without a helmet on. I didn't see him at all. So I'm not sure what the situation is there. I think there were some reports that maybe he had a procedure done to his knee, maybe a scope done. Those are unconfirmed at this point. But concerning because of him. You know, he's been a guy who hasn't been overly consistent, hasn't been consistently available. So, yeah, something to be concerned about.
A couple of other quick observations. I thought Brandon Lloyd, it was the first time I got to see him on the field because I was away last week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he looked very smooth, very sharp. Yeah. In his route running and his pass catching.
Yeah, I didn't think he was as impressive yesterday as he was the first week, but I definitely agree with your description of being smooth.
And Tom Brady took a few more reps in practice, but it seemed like Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett were getting a lot more chances to show what they could do.
Yep.
And I thought Hoyer had the better day of those two.
Yeah, I didn't think either one of them was very impressive, but I agree with you. Hoyer was better than Mallett.
Okay.
Looks to be clearly ahead of Mallett in his development, which makes sense. 4 years to two.
Right.
He should be.
Defensively, I noticed that they were running a lot in individual, when just defense was working on its own and when they did the teamwork. A lot of nickel work yesterday. Two linebacker, five defensive back formations. Anything stand out to you from the defensive side?
No, not really. I agree. There was a lot of sub package work. I thought, the other thing early on in the session, we saw them doing a lot of running game work, which, mm-hmm. is the ultimate
right.
waste of time for anybody
right.
other than a coach who's looking for technique and mm-hmm. and first steps and whatnot on their blocking schemes. So. Without results to drive our opinions, it's awfully hard to figure those things out. And then, again, I don't mean to keep using this as a crutch, but the fact that they don't have numbers on, so you can't immediately identify who's doing what and where, makes it awfully difficult to do your evaluations as well.
All right. And the other thing they focused on yesterday was kickoff returns. They had three groups rotating, with Danny Woodhead being your lead returner, backed up by Julian Edelman with the second group, and then Devin McCourty in that third group.
Yeah, what I found interesting was the guys that were with all of those guys. Arrington was back there with McCourty. I haven't really remember seeing him a whole lot getting those kinds of opportunities. So, and Shane Vereen also, I think, was back there with
Woodhead
in the first group. So I'd like to see a guy like Vereen get a chance to do some of that stuff. And, you know, listen, I like the fact that maybe Bill is sort of thinking outside the box and looking at some quarterbacks in McCourty and Arrington as well.
Well, it's been a pretty active week here, Paul. The last couple of weeks with OTAs, yeah, we're actually having
it's supposed to be a real downtime, but all of a sudden it's getting really busy. And yeah, I can feel the summer has just started, and it's almost over for us. So,
well, we've got another OTA, like we said earlier, another OTA next Thursday. We'll talk about it next Friday on the Ross Report, and
correct,
then the week after that, the mandatory 3-day mini camp. So, very active time here before the very, very, very quiet time, but between now and then, enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next Friday on the Ross Report.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.